The tomboy brunch. I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy. The tomboy brunch. I'm a tomboy.
Because ladies love sports too.
I'm a tomboy.
Hey everybody, what's happening? Welcome to another edition of the Tomboy Brunch. I am your hostess with the mimosas, Miss Katrina Chambers, and again, thrilled to be here on this Saturday morning enjoying this lovely peach mimosa today with a great, wonderful friend of mine. Miss Gladys Bettis has joined us for brunch today. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hey, I'm good and hungry. We finished talking. We're going to eat.
We're going to eat. That's what we do. That's what we like to do. Have a little sip of mimosas, eat, and talk about sports and what's happening. Do you partake in the mimosas?
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, if I remember correctly, that PIFMA. PIFMA knows how to throw down. And for those of you who don't know, PIFMA stands for Professional Football Players Mothers Association. And we are on the line today. Joining us for brunch is one of the founders and creators of PIFMA, Ms. Gladys Bettis, and also known as Jerome Bettis' mom. And so... So welcome, and again, glad to have you here. But last year, something very big went down in the Bettis family.
Tell us about that. Last year, my son, the bus, was inducted into the National Football Hall of Fame. It was
awesome, incredible.
It was the best thing that ever happened to him.
It looked like it was. I mean, just on TV, everybody was so emotional. Every time they showed you on a camera, your face just said everything. Rodney was there, and he was just saying how inspiring it was. His speech was awesome. But being there, like, how was it? And when I say being there, I mean you from Notre Dame High School, just throughout his Steelers career, the ups and downs, and, you know, the Super Bowl win. How did it feel seeing your son inducted into the National Football Hall of Fame?
You know, it was, and I thought the Super Bowl was the greatest. But it wasn't. It was the Hall of Fame. And we've been through everything with Jerome, my husband and I. And I lost my husband back in 06. So I just continued on with the rest of my family. But we started with this boy in high school. That was his first game, high school. Didn't play any little league or whatever you call it. We didn't know he could even play. And when he started, we found out he was blessed. Blessed with that gift, and he used it. And so I was there with him going through practices and then going through the games, all of the games in high school, all the college games, all the pros, my husband and I. We went through it. We went through it all with him. We sat there. If it was 3 degrees below zero and he played, we sat there with him. If it was a torrential rain, whatever, we were there. So when it got to the Super Bowl, we were like, yes, we've been here for 13 years now, and it's time for this boy to get something, and he did, and we sat through that, and when it came to, when he got elected to the Hall of Fame, we were like, this is unbelievable, unreal. Yeah. It was emotional for him, so by now, he has a wife and 2 children, a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. So it wasn't just our little family. It's his family now, too. And we were all there together, and we felt it together. And his kids, to watch his kids go through this with us was really unbelievable, because they weren't here when he played, but they waited for him to get elected. Each year that went by, they knew what was going on in his heart and his mind, and they felt it also. So they were just as happy and elated as we were.
Yeah. And how many years after his retirement had it been?
It was 5 years.
It was exactly five years. That's the minimum,
right? The minimum. He can, after you retired, you have to wait 5 years. And then each year went by, it was four more years, even after the five.
So we waited each year. And I don't know what took him so long. I mean,
me neither.
I'm partial. I don't know what the heck took so long. But
whatever.
When it came,
right, it was incredible. You got me going.
I'm sorry.
No, and that's what we want to know. Because, that's what we want to know. And that's the kind of stuff. I'm getting chills just hearing you talk about it. Because from watching him play and then knowing him as a person, we were rooting for him, too. Like you said, then when you and his dad had him and going to the games, his fan base grew outside of the family. We all were rooting for him. So, I got a little emotional just watching him because I felt for him and I'm rooting for the other. There's a lot more that played during his era that deserved to be in there too.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God.
It moved us all. Yeah. But I can only imagine, like you saying, the sacrifices that you had to make in every game from high school to the pros to and Canton, Ohio, I heard is just the Football Hall of Fame itself is just a great place.
It's incredible. It really is. The whole ambience about that place, you can just feel it. And I was just, I'm an emotional person anyway. And the emotions got to me. And just to sit there and watch my son, and when he got his yellow jacket, I cried. I said every different event, and they have so many different events. But when he made his speech, I was just a ball of nerves and just totally in tears. And I had thousands of people watching, and I'm wiping tears and I'm
millions.
Crying.
You had millions. You know
what? You had that many people watching.
Did he go through the speech prior with anybody, practice with anybody?
Was that everyone's
first time hearing it? Was when he said it to the world? Was that everyone's first time?
Was.
Wow.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And and you know what? I knew he was going to say something about my trials, what I had been through, but I didn't know he was going to say it the way he did. And did that hit me. I mean, he talked about the strength that I had, and that's where he got his strength from, and that got me. I'm like, oh my gosh.
But you know what? And hearing him talk about that, and this is an excellent segue. You have a career in commentating too. Your son gets to hear from you. That's a great segue. But you know what? That's part of the reason here, October Ring Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And not only are you connected to sports through Jerome, but just you're connected through just your testimony, your story. When you found out that you had cancer and heart surgery. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that to you, to share with our listeners, because I know people that are personally being affected by cancer that have overcome and that are going through it right now. And, and some that didn't make it, And so I know EGX Lifestyle, that's way back in like 07, 08, 2008.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Eddie George had a health and wellness company called EGX Lifestyle. And one of the first initiatives that he did was partner with PIFMA, the NFL Moms, and create a fitness challenge. So you had Bettis, McNabb, Wells, all these moms, Eddie's moms, just across the league, women, and they are just as competitive. Michelle Green, and I mean, you guys are just as competitive as your sons are. And so, part of the challenges of a healthy lifestyle, they did a variety of tests. And tell them about the tests, Ms. Glass.
Yeah, we did.
You tell them. Let me just listen.
We started out with the checkups from the doctors. That was the very first thing they wanted to do. And they wanted us to change our eating habits, our lifestyles, lose weight, get healthy. And we were like, okay, we'll do this. Well, we all went to the doctors in Tennessee, and the doctors checked us out. And at the time, I had just lost my husband a month earlier, and I was just grieving. I was just really in no condition to be working out. I was a person who worked out constantly, and when my husband retired, I took him to the gym with me, got a trainer, and let's work out. Mm-hmm. And he died on his way home from the gym one day, just a massive wow. heart attack. It went just that fast. So I was not wow. working out. I was not training. I was just grieving, didn't want to be bothered. But when Donna asked me, Eddie's mom, I said, okay, Donna, I'll do this for you. I'll get in right. on the weight loss band. And I did. But doing that, we had to get our physicals done. And we started with the physicals. Well, mm-hmm. we went to Tennessee. And one of the doctors there, Dr. Harris, he gave me my exam, and he told me that I really looked, I was just so sad, and I, like I said, I was just grieving. And he told me, he said,
"You were, I remember."
Yeah, yeah. He wanted to check me out further, so he did, and he gave us. It was not a CAT scan, but the test that put you in the machine similar to that and see if everything is good. And when I got that test, it wasn't. They told me that mm-hmm. they end up having to put dye in my arm and put me back in there for further testing. They did a video of my heart and told me that I had a blockage. I had a blockage in my heart, and I'm like, no, that's not possible. You know, I just went to the doctor just recently, but it was. And to make a long story short, I kept going with the weight loss. I lost actually 25 pounds before
yes.
we realized that the blockage had gotten to be 100%. And I had to have a 5-vessel bypass surgery. And if it wasn't for Eddie, EGX and Donna George, I wouldn't be here today. I owe them my life because I had no warning. I had no problems. I was doing fine. Like I said, I ended up losing 25 pounds through the whole thing. And it's a story that I'm telling, but it's all, it's a video. It's a whole story. It was on TV. Katrina.
Yeah, I remember coming up to the hospital with you.
Yes.
I remember sitting in the waiting room waiting for you.
Yes.
Just hearing you play it back is bringing it all back to me because it happened so fast.
It happened so fast. You know. And the camera came in the room, in the waiting room with me before I went to surgery, and I had all the needles mm-hmm. and everything stuck in me on my way. And I remember waving and saying, I'll be back. I'm going to do all right. I'm going to be back. And I was so nervous. And afterwards, I came back. And it was the teams. What Eddie did was the team that lost the most weight and got the most fit won a trip, a cruise. And I couldn't go on the cruise. And so they asked me if I would do a video while the ladies was on the cruise and let them see how I was doing. So I said, okay, I was in my bedroom. I couldn't go any further in my bedroom because this was done a week or 2 weeks right after I got home. So I was sitting on the side of my bed, and I put a big flower in my hair, and I got makeup on, and I got one of my gowns that was low cut in the front so you could see that new scar. My new zipper, you could see it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Were you there? Oh, my God.
Yes, I was there standing right there. I remember I had to take the pictures, you know, with the other camera. I was taking the pictures. I remember what you said. I remember I was like, are you sure? And you were adamant about it. I remember.
Oh, yeah, and that thing, my face came across the wall, and all the ladies, and I told them before they did it, I said, get tissues for everybody, because we were all in this together, all the ladies. You know, they, we were together, seriously. So I told them, it's going to be heavy when they see my face, because no one had seen me since the surgery. And boy, my face.
And they did. It wasn't a dry eye in the house.
In the place.
There was just blessings and blessings and blessings. They couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. It was incredible. You know what, God, and I just prayed, and I prayed, God, pull me through this, and he did. It's just like he grabbed my hand and just pulled me right through this, and I'm like, you know what, I put myself in his hands when that happened. So everything went well. Everything, you know, I got past it. I'm doing great. I got back into the gym, got myself back together. And then in 2014, I always get my mammogram every year, faithfully, I'm always. But this one time, I had that mammogram, and they said, we need you to come back and have another one. Went back, had another one. They like, we need you to have an ultrasound. By now, I'm like, something's up. I'm nervous now. And it turned out I did have breast cancer. And I didn't know what to do. You know, I've always been so afraid of that, the big C, they call it. No one in our family has ever had it. And, you know, none of my really close friends, anyone but me. And the one thing I did not ask, why me? I've never been that type of person. Why not me? I'm just like everyone else. It could happen to anyone. And I was the person. And you know what? And I started the day that I heard from it, my sister, you remember my sister Gloria? She's always been there with me, for me. We've always just been, I'm really family conscious, very, very close to my entire family. And I called her and she says, well, did you tell the kids? And I said, no, and I don't know how. I said, I can't do that. She said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do that. Call each one of them and tell them right now. And I did. I was so nervous about it. And I called them. And let me tell you, I found out then that I had adults. I had raised some adults. These were no longer kids. And I was
Your babies so, were grown up, huh?
My babies were grown, and they took it like grown people. Mom, where do we go next? What do we do? Jerome, when do I come in? When you see the doctor, right. I want to be there with you. Each one of them, I want to be there. Let's see what our next step is. And I got strength from that. You know, that helped me go through this. And the next doctor's appointment I had, all three of my kids and my sister were sitting in that room with us. And each doctor's appointment, the guys and my daughter, if she wasn't at work, they would come in and go to the doctor with me until they said it's time for surgery. I had my surgery. They came. Everybody was there. You know, I had two surgeries. They came back each time. I had two surgeries, and the second one told me everything was good. They got it all, and I needed chemo. So I went through the chemo, six chemos, and that's done once a month. And then after chemo, I had to do radiation. You know, so it was trying. And I do a lot of speaking on breast cancer. And the one thing that I speak about is support. I got so much support, and I had so many people praying for me. I sent out prayer wars all over the United States. And a lot of people I talk to, and I'm finding out, they want to keep it a secret. That's a secret. They don't say anything. But I was totally the opposite. Totally. You know, I wanted everyone to know and everyone to pray for me, because God is good and God is going to take care. You know what? And God knows he did. You know, I had so many people praying for me. And yes. My stress.
So what is it that you don't want to, you know, for someone that's going through it and going through chemo and you're trying to be supportive and you're trying to be there, was there anything that you just did not want to hear that you didn't want? When you, was it a particular person that come because they always brought negativity or they all, was there something that bugged you during that time that you wish people wouldn't do but thought maybe they wouldn't understand if you asked them to?
Well, I don't, you know what, the one thing that the most important thing about this is that you support someone. If you know anyone that's going through, a friend, a relative, give them support, because this is something mm-hmm. that we can't go through alone. And some people, right. I'm sure, have to, but we must not go through this alone. You know, I don't know. I don't have any, like I said, any really close friends. But here, since I was diagnosed, I've met so many different people, and we just talk. We need to talk. You hear me going now? And that's right. What we do. And that's what you do for each other. You know, you don't want anyone sitting at home, sitting in a chair, laying in the bed, just sad and feeling sorry yeah. for themselves. That's not what yeah. you want to do. You want to be up. Yeah. You want to move. You want
to
go and do
it. So it sounds like mentally, and so did
mentally.
You have to get to the place where you are right now? Because you're talking, you're definitely
yes.
a warrior, a survivor.
Yes.
But going
yes,
through it, did you ever feel broken? Were you ever, you know, and
never,
when you were diagnosed, it sounds like you came, like what you said, most people don't want to tell people they have it, but that wasn't you. You
right.
told people because you wanted that. So,
yeah. And that's what I think people should do, because
mm-hmm.
it's not, this cancer is, it's bigger than all of us, but it's not a death sentence any longer. See, and that's what,
right.
that's where, what people used to think whenever they heard that, oh my, I'm, you know, she's got it and they're not going to make it. Not anymore. You know, they've made so many strides with this breast cancer that you're going to make it. Whenever I talk to someone, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Just pray. You know, I prayed for the doctors. You know, I prayed for
right.
everyone who had to take care of me, you know, my family. I prayed for them. And just prayer changes things, and prayers help. And it helped my inside. You know, it helped my spirit,
mm-hmm.
because that's one of the key things to this cancer is your spirit and keeping yourself elevated. The better
right, right.
you are,
so,
the better you can do.
And so this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, awareness being
yeah.
the key word, the best thing that we can do, those of us who have not been affected by it personally, but affected by maybe someone that we know, the best thing
yes.
we can do is be there for them, is to support
be there
them.
For
it
them.
Sounds like that's the, you know,
that's
because
the,
I kind of get
the,
like what you were saying, I kind of find that people that have it, they're kind of noticeably withdrawn. And it
right.
seems like they
very
don't want to, you know, they can go on, we can post on Facebook and social media praying for you, go in our prayer
yeah.
rooms and write their
yeah.
name on the walls and pray for them. But is there a way that we
but
can
that,
touch
that,
them to let them know,
yes.
you know,
that's
to,
what you need to do. The closer you can get to that person, call them, tell them, call me. If they don't call you, I'm calling you. I'll be over there.
Right.
You know, I went through that chemo and it's no joke. In the days that I was down, I was sick, my sister would be sitting right here in the chair with me. You know, we didn't have to talk, or I was asleep or just hurting, and she was there. And when my daughter got off of work, my sister went home and my daughter came home and she was here with me.
Right.
Or, you know, or just my friends. I would have friends
mm-hmm.
sometimes that call me and I would just talk to them. Right now I'm not feeling good. I'm not in the mood for friends or anyone to come by. But the minute I am, just keep calling me. And one of those days,
yeah.
I said, I'm great. Come on, take me to lunch. Let's go to lunch. Because you don't have bad days all the time. Just a week or so during that period, you got bad days. And then the other days, you're up, moving around, ready to go. So stay with
yeah.
that person and check on them often. support them.
So it wasn't too long after you were diagnosed in 2014 and Jerome went in 2015. So it was still raw for him. Hearing his speech.
Let me tell you what happened. When he got the word at the Super Bowl of 14, in January, that was my last chemo treatment because I wanted to go and be with him when he got it. But he asked me, Mom, you think you're going to make it? No, I can't. It's my last treatment is, I think, January the 28th. And he got the word the 1st of February, the first week. So I say, son, no, that's worst time. I can't make it. So the day his wife was with him, and that's the best. I don't care whether I'm there. As long as she's there, I could care less because she's the one.
Right.
And so I was sitting in the bathroom having diarrhea, and the phone rang, and it was time. We knew the time each year because we would be sitting there by the phone waiting. And this time we were sitting there, and something God just told me, this is going to be the year for him. And the phone rang, and somebody said, Grandma, it's Jerome. I said, give me the phone. I'm in the bathroom. And they gave me the phone, and I got the phone. I'm telling you, I was having diarrhea. So, and when he told me, he said, Mom, made it. I started crying. He started crying. And I'm like, oh, my God, son. I'm reliving it now. I am so happy for you.
Oh, but man. I'm sitting here grinning.
I'm telling you, it made the worst time the best.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
The way it went. From then on, it just went straight up because that was my last chemo treatment that month. And then I just started getting better and better. And by August, I had been working. I had been working at this. And we had radiation. So I got through with the radiation. And it burns here and there. I could care less what it was. And I got through it. I had to buy from the radiation. My feet are swollen. They're not really swollen. They're just bigger now. And the neuropathy, all of that, I had to get bigger shoes. I went to the doctor and I told her, what do I do? She said, you have to be there. So just buy you some bigger shoes.
Wow.
I said, thank you. Thank you very much. And that's what I did. Because I'm going to be there.
Yes, absolutely. So you're this January was 2 years.
This past January, January 15, 1 year from finished with my chemo. And I finished when I got back to the doctor in April, May, June, he told me, you're a survivor. So it's been a year.
Awesome.
I'm a year.
New baby.
So, it
was an incredible.
And I think sometimes when some people say, well, why me? And I think, well, why not me? I've got a lot of mouth. I talk a lot. You know, I love people. I listen to people. And people listen to me. And maybe I got something to say to them. Maybe I can help someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to do something, like I said, just within this past week, someone I know close to me was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I wanted to do something to help other people, you know, I want to use this platform to help others. And just like what you're saying, and I was just being still and you came into my head and I remember, you know, your heart surgery, but then I remember Miss McNabb and people telling me us, you know, they sent us all an email, me and Eddie and Jerome also had told Eddie that you had breast cancer. And we were just like, wow, was like, she is a warrior.
And
you know, it's like you are meant to be here. You are meant to share your story. You're meant to help other people because like you said, you'd have been dead.
Yeah. I would have been. Let me tell you, since I've seen you, since I've had before my breast cancer, I've had both of my knees replaced.
They call me the bionic woman around here.
And I just had a cataract surgery done 1 month ago. I'm telling
Get
you.
Get out of here. So you are just fighting you.
When somebody say to you, I'm blessed and highly favored, let me tell you, I know what that means. I am truly blessed and I am highly favored. And I'm here for a reason.
Yes.
To sing God's praises. I'm telling you, I'm here.
You are.
Girl.
No, and that's what I, you know, just all came together. So what are some things that you would say to those friends, particularly two names I want to call out, Rosie Anderson, a family friend that I've known for over half of my life is battling breast cancer right now. And another friend of mine I used to work with years ago has been recently diagnosed and she's about to start going through it. So what would you say to them?
You know what? Hold your head up. And let everyone know, don't keep this a secret. If you look around you, it's bigger than all of us. It's no reason to keep it quiet, because you will be surprised to have people talk to you about it, to have people pray for you. And that helps your spirit. And read, you can read upon it. I had people sending me hats, sending me candy, sending me. And one person sent me a book. She sent me a huge box letting me know what I may need when you start chemo. Get lemon drops or get peppermint, because there are going to be times when you're not going to be able to eat your food. The food tastes horrible and you need something. Lemon drops. Get you some lemon drops. And suck on the nose. You're going to be fine. My problem was diarrhea, and some people's problem is nausea. So when the doctor gives you whatever they give you, you take it. Make sure you take it. If you got nausea, don't worry about it. It could have been something that
because it affects people differently.
Differently.
Right.
I lost my hair. Don't worry about it. I got me a couple of wigs, and then I didn't want to wear the wigs, and it was cold outside, so I couldn't go bald like I wanted to, so I put some wigs on. But believe me, they got the cutest hats in the store. Get you some hats. I mean, just let it be just a normal day for you. Don't feel sad. Don't worry, because you're going to get through this. My doctor told me, when I first went in there, the surgeon, before I had anything done, and Jerome reminded me of, because they were all sitting in there with me, the very first appointment I had, he said, you're going to be all right. Don't worry about this. He said, in a year from now, you and I are going to laugh at this. And I'm thinking, what the heck is he saying? But believe me, my last appointment, he looked at me, he said, I told you we'd be laughing, didn't I? And I said, yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Wow.
Thank you.
Were there any organizations, local or national organizations, that were supportive or had a support group outside of your friends and family? I know you said your friends and family were a big part of your support, but were there any organizations that you reached out to?
Yes, they are. The National Cancer Society has organizations. You call on the breast cancer. If you just call a cancer society and ask for one of the breast cancer organizations, and they have different women to call you. They would call me all the time. Did I need anything? I just want to talk to somebody. And sometimes, yes, I just want to talk to someone who's been through it. Most of the people that's on the phone have been through what you're going through. So they know how you feel. And sometimes you just want to talk to somebody who's been through this, who knows what you're going to do. Yes, that was always good. If you need me to find out something for you, let me know and I will. I'm in an organization now that my doctor hooked me up with, the Sisters Network. I'm like, I didn't even know. There's so many different organizations. Yeah. The Sisters Network
That's
is
good.
Another cancer group. It's cancer survivors. And it's not, and we've got men in our organization, because there are men that have breast cancer also. It's not a big number, but they're men.
All right. So I saw something. I think it was on The View or something that said about that there, you know, because it's still a lump, even on the man's chest.
It is.
It's still, you can get that.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And when I went in to, when I talked to the doctor, when he told me exactly where it was and what he had to do, and I said, the first thing I said was, what about a mastectomy? Because I had talked to myself about this, and I realized I don't need this breast. If they need it, let them have it. Take it. I can do without it. So you got to put that in your head. You got to talk to yourself about that, because if you want to be here, and yes, you want to be here, and if not for you, for your family, your kids, your loved ones, they don't want you to go anywhere. So you do what you have to do. And he told me, he said, that's not necessary. Not necessary.
Were you getting mammograms every year once you turned 40? That was just a regular appointment.
Yep. And before then, I had been getting them every 6 months because I had had a biopsy before, and whenever you have a biopsy, they make you come in 6 months. So every six months I was doing them. So this was something that just popped up there and sat there. And he told me because of my age, it grows slow after you get a certain age, because I was past 60. After you get a certain age, it's a slow grower. But when these young women, and I feel so bad when the young women, 25, 30, when they get it, it runs, it grows fast.
I have seen so many people affected by breast cancer. Some not directly in my circle, but maybe one to 2 degrees of separation, to where it literally, I have never, And I'm going to do it. I'm say it here on air, but I've never had a mammogram, and it is due to the fear that they're going to find them, you know. And I try to do it, but and I'll be, you know, and I'm at that age where I know I do, but
don't let the fear take you out of here. See, don't let the fear do that, because it'll take you out of here. And if you have it and they don't catch it in enough time, then it's gone. You know,
Statistically speaking, you know, this little group of four of us that we used to work together, you know, two of them now out of us, four of us, that's 50%. They have it within this same year. One is recovering and one is about to have a mastectomy. And so I'm like, that's really close.
I asked the doctor about it. I said, what did I do wrong? I'm trying to take care, just try to eat halfway right. What is it that I didn't do? He said, you didn't do anything. He said, you are a woman and you are over 50 years. And one out of four. That's
what?
The statistic. That's all it is. So I say to you as a friend and a loved one, get your mammogram.
I'm
telling you, it doesn't.
You're right. And it's the fear, but you know what, just what you're saying, you know, and if nothing. Yeah, no, I am. I am. Yeah.
But I definitely am.
But the fear, I needed to hear this just as much as I wanted to help others. I needed to hear this too. So
good. I'm glad because you have that fear, but if you have it and you get it taken care of, you're done. You're okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on a pill. Yeah. I take this pill for 5 years, and because the type of cancer that I have can come back in the other breast in 5 years. So he told me, yes, that's exactly what it's different forms of it, different streams of cancer, of breast cancer, all different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Evasive, mine is evasive. Evasive means it moved to somewhere else in your body. That's why you have chemo. Some women don't have to have chemo because it's not invasive. Invaded somewhere else. I had lymph nodes under, it went under my arm, and I had two lymph nodes removed. And a friend of mine had all of hers. She said that's something like 25 or so lymph nodes. And that, you know, the lymph nodes, you have to be careful moving things. You don't have the strength of your arm. And it's a lot of different things that go along with the lymph nodes. But
so has your lifestyle changed any?
None, not at all. I went to my doctor, my last oncologist. He told me that I may have to take that pill for 10 years. He said they've been doing work on it, and it may, you may have to take it for 10 years. Well, there's, I have been fighting, literally fighting with the pill because it's got some side effects. You know, I got some joint pain here. So now I'm back on my glucosamine and minocodroidin, and I'm fine now. That joint pain is gone. And stuff like that. And I mean, he told me at one time, he said, you could start back on menopause. And I said, oh, hell. Oh, no, you don't.
He said, yeah, you didn't want to hear that, right?
Yep, I didn't want to hear it. He said, nicer. So when I came back in, he said, did you have hot flashes? I said, no, I haven't had, I'm not having hot flashes, but my entire body heat rose. I said, so I'm not as cold. When the winter came last year, I hardly wore a coat. I had a big sweater and layers because my body wasn't as cold. But a friend of mine who just started taking that same pill, she takes it at night, and I was taking it in the day. And she told me, she said, start taking it at night, you have different effects. And now my body temperature has gone back down, and I'm feeling a lot better. So you just have to work around and talk to people. Just listen.
Yeah.
Hey, we all here, and we're gonna do it together. That's all. And that's what happens.
And so the answer is support. Yeah.
So that's what happens when you talk to people. They can tell you what to do and what not. What worked for me? Well, you try this. You try that. That's all it is.
Yeah. So talk and see where. Yeah. Well, I know that you. Today have definitely helped a lot of people. That's an awesome testimony. You're going through it again. God has you on this earth for a purpose, and I think it's to share your story to help others, because like I said, it's in the back of me. I've been afraid, but now just hearing that, you know, I need to go do it. That's right. And it's just been fear, but I'm going to do that. I need to do that. Okay, whatever it is, I'll get through it. You know.
Yes, see, that's it. And that's the way I look at this, because he told me it may come back. I said, okay, if it does, we'll deal with it then. I got the same. I'll be feeling the same way I do now then. If it does, then okay, so be it.
There you go. Two more questions before we go. One, what do you think about Jerome's alma mater, Notre Dame, this year? Do you still follow them now that he's gone? Do you still? Okay.
A little bit. I know they had a couple. They had a good game, a bad game. But I'm hoping great things for Notre Dame. I always mm-hmm. do. Yeah. Jerome is half the time I'm looking at the game, and you can find Jerome there, up in there with the guy. So, yeah.
Right. And second question, Houston, Super Bowl 51. Who do you think is going to come out on top?
I don't know who in the heck is going to come on top other than my Steelers.
Lord, that's loyalty right there.
Oh my that's God, loyalty. I'm still a Steelers fan without a doubt. You must have been loyalty. Listen, those Steelers were good to my son. They were good to my boy. He was good to them,
that's good.
But they were good to him too. But yeah, I'd love to see the Steelers. I'll be right there.
Good deal. Do you plan on, is Pittsburgh going to be in Houston for Super Bowl 51 at all?
Yeah, they will.
We're going to do Tomboy Brunch is going to be broadcasting live on Saturday for Super Bowl Saturday, the time of brunch is 1 year anniversary. So we want to have you come through, definitely.
I hope I sure can. And, you know, it's a lot of Houston moms getting together already. It's a lot of Houston moms down there with Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah. So y'all got to stop by and have brunch with us Houston Texans Grill. So, Miss Bettis, it has been a pleasure talking to you again. This couldn't have went better. I know that you have touched somebody on today, and me personally, and I know some listeners who you definitely helped.
I hope so.
Change lives
really, really
and to get through this. So for all those that are going through it and are surviving it and have been through it, God bless you, and you're going to get through this and reach out to your support system.
Yes, I am so blessed.
Again, enjoy your Saturday. And I'll see you next week.
All right, sweetheart. You take care. You be blessed, too, and get that mammogram.
All right, I will.
Hey, Trina, Adam here with thepregamenews.com, where you can get all your sports news sent straight to your morning inbox and read it in 3 minutes or less. So here we are with your weekly update. First thing, of course, is going to be the hurricane. Hurricane Matthew is ripping through Florida this week, and the Dolphins game, though, is as scheduled down in Miami. Not so lucky with Florida and LSU, as that game is postponed. Looks like it won't be made up, which is unfortunate for SEC fans. South Carolina and Georgia, however, is just pushed back one day to Sunday. Looking at NFL news, big news this week is going to be Tom Brady is back in New England after Deflategate four-game suspension. On the field, the Vikings have looked really good after their Monday Night Football appearance, and Pete Carroll thinks this could be possibly the best Seahawks team yet, which is scary for the rest of the NFL. In the NCAA, Charlie Strong, the head coach at Texas, is on the hot seat, even though the president has given him a vote of confidence. And looking at the MLB, it's the first week of the playoffs. Wildcard games were Tuesday and Wednesday. The Blue Jays beat the Orioles in the AL and take on the Texas Rangers, the number one seed in the AL. While the Giants beat the Mets in Citi Field on Wednesday in a pitching duel led by Madison Bumgarner of the Giants, they are now taking on the Cubs, who Vegas has the best chance of winning the World Series. In the NBA, things aren't looking great for Derrick Rose in New York, as his trial went to the civil case and just got started a few days earlier. Also in Philadelphia, Ben Simmons is out. The number one overall pick for the Philadelphia 76ers is out with ankle injury for a couple months. Good news that Joel Embiid, their number one pick a couple years ago, is finally seeing the floor after 2 years of being injured. He looks to be a center, but actually is going to be a stretch four in the league. And in the PGA news, big news coming out of Tiger Woods' camp. He is back shooting for the PGA opener next spring. That's your weekly wrap for thepregamenews.com. Sign up for the newsletter today by going to thepregamenews.com. Get all your sports news sent straight to your morning inbox. Until next week.
All right. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening.